You know that moment when somebody asks you, unironically, what's your purpose in life? And you're itching to reply, and then you say, I don't know, maybe having full-blown therapy sessions with my shower drain and slowly merging with the couch cushions until I achieve furniture status. Is that a sufficient answer? So, for years, I treated purpose like a collectible, something rare and shiny, and probably sold out before I even knew it existed. And I went through a phase where I would hoard self-help books and binge watch podcasts about unlocking your potential. And I probably followed enough motivational accounts to qualify as a digital cult member. And at one point, I even made a spreadsheet ranking potential purposes from end world hunger to person who knows 57 types of cheese. None of it worked, of course. I just ended up feeling emptier and hungrier. And that's when it dawned on me that maybe the universe just doesn't care about your purpose or your search for meaning because the universe is indifferent. And, well, maybe that's actually liberating. So, humans have been obsessed with purpose forever, right? We've invented gods and empires, all sorts of philosophies, self-help seminars, you name it. Just to answer the question, why bother? And yet, here we are. We're still panicking over whether a latte foam heart counts as meaningful. So, Schopenhauer nailed it when he said, life is basically suffering with occasional moments of distraction. Everything we strive for, the perfect job, the ideal partner that you take on that Instagram-worthy vacation, it all means nothing on the scale of the universe. Literally nothing. 6 billion years from now, the planet won't even exist. It'll be gone. It'll be as if we were never even here. All of us. The stars won't notice. Hell, even your neighbor's cat won't care. And somehow, that realization feels oddly comforting. Well, because if the universe doesn't care, well, then we're off the hook. We don't need some grand purpose to justify our existence. We're free. Free to screw up spectacularly and enjoy the absurdity, and free to stop pretending we're on some cosmic mission in life. And before you roll your eyes and mutter under your breath, that's depressing. Let me stop you right there, because this isn't despair. It's a liberation. And I think we're just getting started. So let's zoom out for a minute, like way out. I mean, stupidly far out, past the Earth, the Sun, past the Milky Way, and somewhere in the middle of the universe. Your worries are basically microscopic cosmic debris. Now, Schopenhauer would have had a field day here. Human striving, utterly futile. All of our so-called important ambitions, you know, the promotion, the social media post that proves we're interesting, the, you know, perfectly curated life, it's all meaningless against the infinite, indifferent universe. And the universe isn't judging you. It's not impressed. It's not invested whatsoever. And yet, somehow, this is freeing. Think about it. Stars explode. Galaxies collide. Black holes munch on entire solar systems like they're popcorn. And we're out here in the void, worried about whether someone liked our last TikTok. I mean, it's ridiculous. And absurdly hilarious if you let yourself see it that way. All right. Enter Alan Watts. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard of him. He was the man who could make philosophy feel like a cocktail of LSD and espresso. Now, he liked to remind us that we take life way too seriously. That the universe isn't a problem to solve. It's a, he said, it's more like a dance to be enjoyed. And yeah, I get it. Dancing through existence while staring into the void sounds a little nuts. But it also might be a little intoxicating. So imagine Watts sitting in a kitchen, holding a mug of coffee and pointing up at the stars and saying, "Stop trying so hard. You're already part of the music." And, you know, maybe he's right. Because once you stop pretending that your spreadsheet of life purpose actually matters, and once you stop letting your ego run the show, you start to notice the absurd little joys. Like the perfectly overcooked ramen or your cat judging you from the windowsill, the ridiculous thrill of avoiding responsibilities for an entire afternoon, and so on. And here's the thing. The universe doesn't care whether you notice. And yet, somehow, that indifference is probably the most honest thing you'll ever encounter. It's real. It's existentially freeing. And it's yours for the taking. Okay. So once you really absorb the fact that the universe couldn't care less about your GPA or your Instagram aesthetic or whatever, you start to breathe a little easier. And this doesn't happen overnight, by the way. It's going to take some time and some inner work to get there. But if you want to get there, eventually, you're going to start to notice the absurd freedom in not mattering. Now, that's actually a sense of relief. Again, Schopenhauer, grim but real as ever, He would say that life is suffering, but if no one's keeping score, then maybe suffering becomes somewhat optional. And this is also similar to the understanding of suffering according to Buddhism. And that also makes me think of Nietzsche, who once stated that to live is to suffer. To survive is to find some meaning in the suffering. So, emotional turmoil, existential dread, eventually these become background noise. And the idea suggested by Alan Watts is that you can just choose to dance over them, or at least trip gloriously without getting upset about it. I'd say it's the cosmic equivalent of realizing the teacher forgot to collect your homework. But in this case, the teacher is the universe and the homework is it's your entire life. And here's the best part. You're free to stop pretending that you're on some grand mission and actually enjoy the ridiculous small things that can make life absurdly delightful. All right. Let me be clear. This isn't meant to be a hall pass to laziness or full-blown nihilistic chaos. It's an invitation to notice the comical beauty of existing in a world that doesn't care if you exist, instead of being terrified by it. So take a typical mundane morning. You're late getting up. Your toast burns. I don't know, maybe your cat pushes your freshly made cup of coffee off the table where it spectacularly splatters or shatters all over the floor. Life is chaos. Now, here's where you get to pause and exercise regulating your emotions. You get to make a choice. You can either rage at it or laugh. Personally, I recommend laughing, but that's just me. Humor has been my cope for a very long time, believe it or not. And I've discovered that it helps satisfy my nervous system a little better than raging. So I try to embrace absurd little rituals, like arguing with my shower drain about life's unfairness, or maybe whispering conspiracy theories to my imaginary potted plants. Because why the hell not? Universe, it isn't keeping track anyway. And I think we get to really appreciate the moment when we just let go. That's all life really is. It's a million little moments, and all of them infinite if we're truly present for them. Now that brings to mind a quote from William Blake that I've always enjoyed. To see a world in a grain of sand, and a heaven in a wildflower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand, and eternity in an hour. Okay. Here's where I think it gets really good. Once you accept that nothing matters in a cosmic sense, you're free to pursue joy without needing justification. And you can fail miserably and still be fundamentally okay. you can stop measuring yourself against everyone else. And besides, comparison is the thief of joy, right? I don't think our lives really need some grand narrative. I really don't. But it took me many years to get there. Because when I was younger, that was definitely not the case for me. And we don't really need a purpose to find contentment. And I know this type of thinking goes against everything that we're raised to believe. I think we just need to find awareness in the present moment. And your life, it doesn't need an Instagrammable arc. You just need yourself embracing the absurdity around you and maybe a decent cup of coffee, and somehow, you know, that's enough. Okay. So here's the secret they don't tell you about. Enlightenment, it doesn't feel like a choir of angels or some other nonsense. It feels more like realizing you've been trying to solve a jigsaw puzzle that never had corner pieces. A little frustrating, right? You wake up one day, you look around your apartment and think, oh, this is it. The grand meaning of life is apparently a half-eaten sandwich and unpaid bills and a Wi-Fi connection strong enough to watch people pretend to be happy. Or, I don't know, something like that. And yet, there's something oddly comforting about this. Because once you drop the expectation that life's supposed to mean something more, the mundane starts to sparkle with this weird kind of absurd glory that you never noticed before. Maybe you start, I don't know, seeing God in the grocery store fluorescent lighting, or you start laughing at how you once thought that a corporate promotion was going to fix your broken soul. You start finding peace in knowing that the apocalypse already happened. It's just called modern life, and you somehow survived. And then there's love, which is basically two people agreeing to hallucinate meaning together until one of them decides to stop pretending anyway. So we crave connection because we think it gives life significance. And on some level it does. But maybe it's more like two people building a fort out of existential dread and deciding to watch Netflix inside it until the universe cools. Which I admit sounds kind of romantic, I guess. When you stop demanding meaning from love, I think you actually start to see it for what it is. This fragile, bizarre, spontaneous thing where two strangers temporarily align their insanity. It's also recognizing that love isn't a feeling. It's a practice, and it's a daily choice you make. And don't get me wrong, you know, that's beautiful and hysterical. It's the tiny consciousness of two people clinging to each other while the cosmos yawns indifferently. And yet, somehow, that's enough reason to keep doing it. Meanwhile, on the other hand, everyone's still out here pretending to love their jobs. They post rise and grind quotes like they're auditioning for a cult that they don't even believe in. If you ever want to feel true peace, stop asking, what do I do that gives my life meaning? And start asking, what can I do today that won't make me hate being alive? You got to start small at first. So maybe it's your job or quitting your job. Maybe it's quitting your job and then realizing you still hate being alive. And that's okay, too. Small victories. The point isn't to find meaning. It's to stop treating meaning like it's this IKEA bookshelf you have to assemble before the end of the decade or whatever. Sometimes life is just sitting quietly, eating some noodles, and, you know, realizing you don't have to actually fix anything. And I think once you really internalize this, something incredible happens. You stop needing everything to be special, novel. You stop needing every moment to matter. And you stop clinging to every moment. You also stop chasing grand cosmic purposes and start finding joy in the deeply stupid and fleeting human moments that actually make up existence. And you stop performing your life and you actually start living it. And hopefully you can start laughing at the tragedy of it all. Because it's really the only sane response left, if we're being honest here. So Alan Watts once said that life, it's not a journey. It's like music or dance. The point isn't to get to the end faster. It's to enjoy the movement. You don't start a dance as if it's a race to reach the end, right? The point is to lose yourself in it. Even when the song is strange or whatever. Well, I mean, especially if it's strange. And, you know, if that's not enlightenment, I don't know what is. So, at some point, you stop searching for the map because you realize there isn't one. And there never was. And every philosopher who tried to hand you one, Schopenhauer, Kierkegaard, Chorin, Camus, etc., they were all just as lost. They were just louder about it. Even Alan Watts, with his serene smile and his whiskey voice, he wasn't telling you what to do. He was just saying, relax. You were never supposed to know. You know, meaninglessness, it isn't a curse. Instead, think of it as a blank canvas. The universe basically hands you an empty coloring book and says, have fun, you sentient accident. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. Then, yeah, You're going to screw it up. You'll color outside the lines and probably eat the crayon at least once, metaphorically. But that's life, right? That's the whole damn point. So here's the trick. If nothing matters, then everything can. I think you can find sacredness just about anywhere. Your morning coffee, the smell of rain on the pavement, the quiet moment before your brain starts screaming again. So try this. Start creating your own little rituals. And not because they mean something cosmic, but because they anchor you to the moment. Light a candle, not to summon peace, but to trick your brain into thinking you've got your shit together. Go for a walk and pretend that the world isn't on fire for 20 minutes, and preferably without your phone. Write a journal entry that starts with "Dear meaninglessness," and end it with "Thanks for nothing, I guess." Try to exercise tiny acts of rebellion against the void. They're what make you human. Because honestly, the universe, it's funny. It really is. And not in a ha-ha way, but in that slow, painful, what the hell is this kind of way. I mean, we're really just self-aware apes spinning on a molten rock, inventing shit like taxes and influencers and motivational posters that tell us, follow your dreams, like anyone knows what those even are. And if you can't laugh at it, even just once a day, if you can laugh at it, even just once a day, I'd say you're already enlightened, as far as I'm concerned. And that's what Kurt Vonnegut understood, that humor is how you hug despair without letting it crush you. So, yes, the universe is probably meaningless, but it's also ridiculous, which in my book makes it survivable. Now, here's the paradox. Once you stop needing meaning, life starts to feel meaningful again. Funny how that works. Because you're finally here. And not chasing and not performing or trying to prove your existence to a void that doesn't care. You're just living. You're truly, finally present. You make coffee and pet your cat if it'll let you. You tell a stupid joke to someone who actually laughs. And in that fleeting, irrelevant moment, you feel something authentic. And that's your compass. That's what meaninglessness gives you. It's a kind of radical freedom to stop looking for the point and start creating it in these small, messy, honest human ways. So next time someone asks you what your purpose is, just smile and say, well, I'm currently arguing with the void, and you know what? It's going well. All right. think that's all I've got today. As always, thanks for listening.